Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Nun. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 12 lines from the top of Daf Nun. You can see we have a crown shape around Marzutra and a number 2. In our previous shiur, we had introduced his first halacha, but this second halacha is not related to that which we saw in the previous shiur. It's related only in the sense we have the same name, and it's a din regarding payment. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads as follows: Din shel Marzutra brei Rav Nachman. His ruling is that a shtar choiv hayotze al hayesoimim, a bill of collection, where one had borrowed money, and before paying up his debt, he died, and the collection is made from the heirs, the orphans. Afal pi shehisna ligvois me'avien, idis eino goyve elo min hazibus. Even though there was a clear condition made with their father that payment would be made from idis, from top quality land, which is a deviation from the norm. Normally, a Balchov pays from Beinonis, from middle quality land. In this case, a specific condition had been made that he will pay back from top quality land. Nevertheless, he died, leaving the heirs, Eino Goyve Elo Min HaZiburis. Collection remains as it ordinarily would be when collecting from Yesoimim, from orphans, and that is from the Ziburis, poor quality land. The issue of land qualities as a source of collection has been the topic of our last two shiurim, so if you're a first-time listener, by all means, listen to the previous shiurim. Now, the Gemara. Omar Marzutra, Brei D'Rav Nachman, Mishmei D'Rav Nachman, Shtar Choiv Hayotze Al Hayesoimim, a bill of collection that is now being used to collect from orphans, to collect the debt that their father had owed. Afal pi shekosuv bo shevach, even though shevach, in this case shevach, is a reference to collection from idis, collection from top quality land, was specified, was stipulated, eino goyve elo min hazibur. Since the collection is made in actuality from the orphans, collection will be made from the poor quality land of the estate that they inherited. Omar Abaye Teda, Abaye proves his point. The Balchov Dine Bebeinonis, matter of course, a borrower, when he pays back, if he's not paying back cash, he'll pay back from medium quality land. Umiyasmi Baziburis, and when it comes to orphan payback, it is from the poor quality land. So that there's already a precedent for, we'll say, deviation from the norm. So that even if you have a deal where it was stipulated payment will be back from Shevach or from Idis, when it comes to Yesaimim, payback is from Ziburis. Rava makes a point. With our markings, we indicate a long marking indicating Rava's point. Rava disagrees with Abaye's analysis, with Abaye's comparison. Omar le Rava, Hachi Hashta. How can you compare this case of the Shtar Choiv that has Shevach written in it with the regular Balchov? We've used a special marking, a volcano shape, and on the side of the Gemara, Havlotois Kedei Lohokel Kriyadizar highlightings of specific terms to make it easier for the reading, to be able to focus. So structurally, what Rava does is says, how can you compare the standard Baal Chov and the case at hand that Marzutra spoke about, and the first marking, the first volcano shape, is a reference to the standard Baal Chov. And then you notice a little later, Hocha, that's the case of the Shtar Choyv Shikosu Bo Shevach, the case that Marzutra addressed. Between these two volcano shapes, there's a bracketed section, and we'll skip them initially. The Gemara, Rava says, how can you compare Hochi Hashta, Baal Choyv Dine Midoraisa Beziburis? A standard Baal Chov on a Torah level is to pay the debt from poor quality land. So the fact that Yisoimim are going to be paying Ziburis isn't something that's really so out of the ordinary. All that we're saying is that Yisoimim are going to be paying with poor quality land in accordance with the strict Torah level law. That's different than a case of a shtar choiv that has a specific condition that payback will be made from Idis. On a Torah level, a shtar chov, a document in which Shevach is written in, on a Torah level, is to pay from top quality land. So if we skip the brackets, you know, it's Elohacha, the shtar chov, shikosu bo Shevach, the case Marzutra was referring to, kevan de dine midoraisa be'idis. Notice we dot underline midoraisa just like we did before with the Baal Chov. His, the shtar chov, shikosev b'shevach, doraisa, is be'idis. Therefore, afilu mi'as minami be'idis. It would then stand to reason, if we're going to parallel yisoimim to what ought to be doraisa, so then the yisoimim should be paying idis as well. Now we'll go over the bracketed section. After Rava makes his point that abachov midoraisa dinei b'ziburas, kide'ula, based on Ula's teaching, we're within the brackets now. Diyama Ula dvar Torah b'chov b'ziburis. From a Torah perspective, a borrower, when he has to pay back his debt, he pays back from, he has a right to pay back from his poorest quality land. Shenemar, the pasuk that we're going to read deals with the issue of paying. Of someone who borrowed money and he comes to pay. We're not getting into the details of the pasuk itself, but just to recognize that it's talking about someone who owes money. And it says in the pasuk, "Bachutz tamod voish v'chule," the one who's collecting stands outside, and the one who owes the money goes into his house and comes out with payment. Ma darkus shel ish lahoitzi pochos shebekelim. Is it not so that it's the way of man that when he has to pay, when he's forced to pay up a debt, he pays up with the least of articles that he can. There's whatever he can get away with. That's what he'll pay with. And in simple words, he'll pay with pachos shebekelim, with the least of what he has. And in land terms, that would be ziburis. Umatam omru bal chov bebeinonis. Why do we legislate that a bal chov, a debtor, pays his debt with medium quality land? So as not to literally lock the door in the face of those seeking loans. If lenders would know that they are going to be getting ziburis land as payment for money they extended, they're not going to want a loan. So to create to avoid that setback, we say to lenders, have no fear, you're going to get medium quality land, even though that's not what the Torah legislates. V'gabi yasmi uknua rabbonan adoraisa. When it comes to the orphans having to pay back their father's debts, the halacha reverts to the doraisa expectation of loan payback, i.e. through ziburis. Avo elohacha, but in the case of a shtar choyv shekosuv bo shevach, you have a document, and in the document there is a stipulation that the loan will be paid back with the top quality land. Kevan de dine midoraisa beidis, since on a Torah level, that which is written in a shtar is that which is binding. And if it says edis is used to be paid back, the top quality land, so be it. So then, even from Yisoymim, the payback should be through edis. Now, the Gemara asks on what Rava just said. You notice we have a triangle marking scheme with the triangle changing directions along the way. On the side, we have a ma'akav. These are kushos al Rava. And that's with the triangle point facing up and the inverted triangle, tshuva's responses. The Gemara asks, l'Rava, according to what Rava just said, Hot v'hotani Avram Chayza ein nifroim nichsi yisaimim ela min haziburis v'afilu hein nezikin. Collection made from properties inherited by orphans is to be made only from ziburis, even if it's a payback, a compensation for damages. V'hon nezikin dinin midoraisa b'idis. We know that a person to be compensated for damages is compensated on a Torah level from Idis, from top quality land. And yet you see that with regard to Yisaimim, it drops down to Ziburis. So we ask Rava, who cares that the Doraisa is one thing? When it comes to Yisaimim, payback is from Idis. Rava answers, Hocha b'may askinon, this Tanaic source that you're asking on me, Kegon Shehoisa Idis Denizik Keziburus Demazik. Take note, by the way, that this is a long answer. It's a case where the top quality land of the victim of the damage was equal to the Ziburus quality land, the cheap quality land of the offender. For Rabbi Shmuel he, and this source is in accordance with Rabbi Shmuel, on a Torah level, we evaluate the quality of land based on that which is in the possession of the nizak, of the victim. And for the sake of preserving world order in the maximum way, the rabbis instituted that payment for damages shall be from the Mazik's best quality land. In this case, we're dealing with in our Tanaic source, we're dealing with the Yisaimim of the Mazik, the orphans that inherited property from the Mazik. V'gabi yasmi ukmura bonon adoraisa. And when payment is to be extracted from orphans, the rabbis reset it on the Torah level. And therefore, you'll have the Mazik, the orphans of the Mazik, paying from his own Ziburis, which, as we said, corresponds to the Idis of the Nizik. The Gemara asks, Eini, is that so? V'hotoni Rebbe Eliezer Nivsa, Eini froin minichse yisoymim elo min haziburis. V'afilu hein idis. My afilu hein idis. This source that says the payment from Yisoymim, payment extracted from Yisoymim, is only from Ziburis, even if they are idis. What does that mean? Lav afal gav dechtiv idis bishtar. Doesn't it mean, even if idis is written in the document used to collect from them, still payment is made from Ziburis? And that is against Rava. The Gemara answers, Loi, my Edis, the source that said, Vafilein Edis, what does that refer to? Shapoi Edis. In order to appreciate Shapoi Edis, we look at the Rashi. The Rashi that we're going to look at is less than halfway down. We have a little star we drew into the Rashi. My Idis, the Kotani Hacha, what does Idis mean that's in this source that Rabbi Elazar Nivsa taught? The Kotani Hacha, the Afagav, the Kosva, Bishtar Halva, Eino Gove Mimena. Even though there is Idis written in the Shtar, the document used to collect the debt from them, the lender will not collect it. What happened? Kegon deshapoyidis, li'achar halva, after the loan was taken. Bear in mind, the borrower had lands when he took out the loan. After he took out the loan, koftsa milafonov, the idis property they had literally jumped from in front of him. It's no longer accessible for collection. She'ena yochalugvois heimena kagon shenot lua masikin onishtefa oshotfonohar. Either it was taken over by marauders, or it went bad because of crop blast, or it was deluged by a river. De botil le tenoi. The stipulation of paying back the debt with idis is now void. De mehashto havile lahai bachov ligvuye ziburis midoraisa. At this point, the borrower, having no idis, reverts to a borrower who pays back on a Torah level from Ziburis. We mentioned before that if you wrote in idis to the shtar, so on a Torah level you pay back from idis, that's assuming you have idis. But if you happen to have had idis but it's gone, so then you're dealing with a standard Balchov, who on a Torah level pays back from Ziburis, Umishum Shalotinal Delis, Omra Bonabaninis, Vigabi Yasmik Mur Adoraisa. And even though he may have on a Torah level been required to pay back only Ziburis, we mentioned as to not deter lenders, we have him pay back with Baininis. But since we're not dealing anymore with the borrower himself, but rather with his orphans, they revert to the Doraisa, namely Ziburis. And that's what the Eliezer Nifsa source is addressing. That scene, that case, where the idis that the debtor had jumped away, was no longer available. And in fact, this answer, which is being given by Rava, is consistent with what Rava has taught. Kedah Rava, we go back to the Gemara. De Omar Rava, Hizik Ziburis, Goive Min Ha'idis. If a person damaged someone's poor quality land, payment is made from Idis. Shapoi Idis, if after the damage was imposed, the damager no longer had any Idis land, it jumped away, it became useless. Goive min habeninus. So then the victim, the damaged victim, will collect from beninus. What originally should have been is no longer. The mazik, as Rashi says, can say to the nizik, tough luck. You know, it's your bad luck that caused you to no longer be able to collect what you thought you might have been entitled to. Vigabi Yasmi, and when it comes to orphans, this is a reference, this line, Rashi points out, is a reference to the source that Rebbe Elazar Nifsa taught, and with regard to Yisoimim, Ukmua Rabbonon Adoraisa, and if the victim of the damage in the case of a nezek involved Yisoimim, should make a correction. The source that Rebbe Elazar Nifsa featured, according to the Gemara's interpretation, was a case with a loan where Idis was written in as a means of payback, but Shapoi Idis, it jumped away, as Rashi explained, and it's now being used to collect from Yisoimim. So, Ukmura Bonanato Raisa, with regard to Yisoimim, the rabbis set it back on the Doraisa expectation, and that is, collection is made from Ziburis. So, just to review, as far as Rova is concerned, if you're not dealing with Yesaimim, but rather a Balchov himself, in which the loan stipulated payback from Idis. So if, once again, you're dealing with the Balchov himself, obviously he has to pay back from Idis. If, however, the Idis becomes unavailable for payback, so then then the payment will be made from something other than the Idis. If the collection ends up being made from Yesoimim, so even though the original Shtar Chov had Idis written in, if the Idis had jumped away, if it had become what we call Shapoi Idis, so then the Yesoimim will pay back from Ziburis. As far as Rava is concerned, he came to argue, it seemed, in the Gemara with Marzutra, and if you had a Shtar Chov that had Idis specified, and there was no jumping away of the Idis, but it remained there, in the event that Yesoimim are being sought out for payback, they too will pay back from Idis. And it's on that point that Rava disagrees with Marzutra Breid Rav Nachman, who wanted to say that a Shtar Chov that had Idis written in, when Yesoimim would pay back, they would pay back only from Ziburis. We continue with the Gemara, but before we do so, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading, Sheila, a question. Haim hatakona degevim yesoimim rak miziburis, keilu gam yesoimim gedolim. The takona that we've made, the institution, that when payback is made from yesoimim, it is the land quality collected from them is ziburis. Does that include even Yesoimim that are adults? The standard way of let's say, approaching Yesoimim is approaching them as orphans that are minors. So with that, let's say, background, we're now asking this question. Does the takona of Yesoimim paying back from Ziburis include even adults, even they're over bar mitzvah? The Gemara, Hein Nifroim Minichse Yesoimim Elo Min Haziburis. Boy Ravach Devuye Bar Ami. Note that we have a long question with an Aleph Oy Dilmo Beis structure to the question. Ravach Devuye asks, Yesoimim She'omru. The Yesoimim that we've referred to, that they pay only from Ziburis, Ketanim Oy Afilu Gedolim. Does it refer to minors, or even if they have become adult? Aleph is the first side of the analysis. Takantahi David Rabbonan Gabi Yasmi. Is it a special institution or regulation that the rabbis instituted with regard to orphans? Vetkanim Ovid Rabbonan L'gdolim L'Ovid Rabbonan. They made their ruling only as only with regard to minors, let's say a protection for minors, but it doesn't extend to adult Yesoimim. Rashi says, Takantu Dovin Rabbonon. The Rashi that we look at together is about a third of the way up from the bottom. Lachus al HaYesoim Amido al Din Torah. It's a matter of compassion that the rabbis want to show for the Yesoimim, whereby they set the means of payback according to the original Torah expectation. Sheze, Toreach u'mocher zaziburis, the one collecting the debt, he will have the burden of selling that poor quality land in order to get its money value. She'ein lahem mi yitrach b'shvilam. They're minors. They don't have anyone to care for them. So, Takona says, since you're dealing with minors who don't know their way about commerce, so let the one who is collecting the debt bother with that, selling the land to get its money value. Let's continue in the Gemara. Oy Dilma, or possibly we're not dealing with a takona, mishum delo masik adaita demalve. Maybe even before we go too much further in the Gemara, let's just recount what we've said in the past. We must make sure that lenders are not discouraged. And in order to do that, we say that the lenders are going to collect not what the Torah allows for collection, just even from just Ziburis, but lenders will be entitled to collect from Beinonis. That, once again, is to encourage people to lend, and we want to avoid situations where they would otherwise be discouraged. When someone lends money, he anticipates getting payback from the one that borrowed the money. Does he think about the borrower dying and payback will be made from his heirs? No, that's not what people think about. Since that's not what's on people's minds, if we say that Yesoimim will pay back from Ziburis, even if they happen to be adult Yesoimim, adult heirs, that's not going to serve as a deterrent for people to extend loans. And if that scenario is not something that enters people's minds, we can allow payback in that case, that kind of case, to be made from the original Torah level, the Ziburis quality. So now we'll read that in the Gemara. O Dilma, Mishum Delo Masik Adaite Demalve, or maybe the idea of being compensated with Ziburis from Yisraimim is because it's not something that occurs to the original lender. The Mis Loive Venafli Nirsikami Yasmi, the Have Le Noyal Delis, that the borrower might die and the properties will fall to his heirs, and if they would pay back from Ziburis, you would create a situation of Noyal Delis, of locking the door of opportunity of receiving loans in the face of borrowers. Since that doesn't occur to people who are lending money, Hilkuch Afilu Gedoilun Nami, therefore Yesoimim that are adult as well can pay back with Ziburis, and we're not risking the problem of Ne'ilas Delis, of locking the doors in front of others that need loans. So that's our question. Toshma, the Toni Abayik Shisha. So let's try to prove or resolve the question from that which Abayik Shisha teaches. Yesoimim Shamru, Gedoilim Veinzorch Loma Ktanim. The source says that Yesoimim that have been spoken about refer to Gedolim, they're adult, and it goes without saying Ketanim, minors. The thinking in bringing in citing this source is that Yesoimim that have been spoken about as required to pay back debts of their father includes Gedolim, and when we speak about Yesoimim paying back with Ziburis, it would mean even adult Yesoimim can pay back with Ziburis. The Gemara suggests that this is not an answer to our question. V'dilma hani mili linyan shivua. It could be that this source is a reference to another halacha involving Yesoimim. That other halacha involving Yesoimim states, one who comes to collect from Yesoimim, even if the collector is holding a shtar, is holding a document entitling him to collect, he has to swear that he hasn't received collection. That in Hebrew is haboli pora minich yisaimim lo yifra lo bishvua. One who comes to collect from yisaimim is not going to receive collection unless he swears in order to justify or validate his claim. When he's coming to collect from Yesoimim, so we're going to tell you now, as the Gemara says, V'dil mahani mili the inyan shvua. It could be that this halacha that Yesoimim referred to include Gedolim is with regard to the din we just stated, the need to swear. The Gedolim b'mili davua kikot the godo b'mili davua kikot ndomi. An adult heir, when it comes to his father's dealings, is ignorant, just as if he were a koton. And if he is going to be asked to pay out, it could be that his father already paid up, or in the case of a shtar posed against the father would claim it's a forgery. The son doesn't know what the father's dealings were with his in his commercial activities. And therefore, he's like a minor. And therefore, one who tries to collect from Yisoimim, even if they're Gedolim, the collector needs to swear. Avol the Inyan Ziburis lo, but as far as Ziburis is concerned, that we can't conclude from this source that when Yisoimim Gedolim are being sought out for collection, that they can pay with Ziburis. The Gemara continues, V'hilchasa, we continue at the top of Amud Beis. Yisoimim Shamru, Gedolim Ve'Tzorach Lama Katanim. Yisoimim that have been spoken about refer to adult heirs, and it goes without saying, minors, Bein Lishvua, Bein Leziburis. Not only with regard to the need to swear in order to collect from them, but also with regard to Ziburis, the right they have to pay back from the poorest quality land of the estate that they inherited. This was another point that was taught in the Mishnah, that when people come to collect money owed to them, they cannot seek collection from purchasers of land from the one who owes you money, as long as the one who owes you money happens to have possession of his own land that he hasn't yet sold. So there's a concept of shibud. Shibud roughly is translated as a lien on property. So then when you extended a loan, or when money is owed to you, in many cases that generates a lien on the fellow's property, the debtor's property. Can you exercise that lien, seizing his property, even if he sold it to others? Well, you could do that only if the debtor himself no longer has possession of any property. But as long as he has possession of property, the purchasers can always deflect a claim against them by saying, why are you collecting from us? We left land in the possession of the one who really owes you the money, so as to not deflect you from collecting from us. And once again, we left you a source of collection, so leave us alone. On the side, we have a nosei / mivne heading. The note reads, Nisayon Lifshot Hashila. There's an attempt in the Gemara to resolve the question, Haim Oimrim Haklal. Do we say the principle of Ein Nifroim Minichosim Mishubodim B'mokom Shiesh B'nechorin Gamim Oysom Mishubodim Haim Mekable Matona V'lo Rak Lekuchos? The principle that we introduced a moment ago refer to people who purchased land from the debtor. Does this and the principle stated, you don't bother them, you don't collect from them as long as there is land still in the possession of the original debtor. Let's say instead of referring to purchasers, we would refer to people that received gifts of land from the debtor. A person receives a gift of land. Can he also make the claim, listen, I received this land as a gift, but the fellow who owes you money still has land in his own possession, so leave us alone and collect from him? Or possibly in the case of a receiver of a gift, that he cannot deflect them. And naturally, this issue comes up as a problem when the land that was retained by the original debtor is Zibura's quality land, when the creditor was entitled to collect better quality land. For example, Beinonis, he had been a lender of money. Why should he have to settle with Zibura's when there is this Beinonis land that has already been given away as a gift? The Gemara. Boy Ravach Devuya Bar Ami, Bematono Heich. Note that this is a long question, and I'll say second question of Achtevuy Bar Ami. As we said, Bematona Heich, the ruling of the Mishnah that you don't receive payment from properties upon which you have a lien as long as there are properties still in the possession of the debtor, what is the rule with regard to properties that were given away as a gift as opposed to sold? Takanta Hudavid Rabbonon, is the Mishnah a function of a rabbinic ruling, Mishum Pseida de Lekuchos, so as to prevent loss for those who bought properties? Lekuchos are purchasers of properties. Avol Matona, but when the outsider is not a purchaser of property, but he received the property, the land, as a gift, the Lekup say to the Lekuchos, well, there's no issue of preventing a loss to purchasers that would lose land as payment for a debt, losing land that they had paid for. Oy Dilma, Matona Nami, it could be that when it comes to someone who received a gift, his receipt of a gift isn't out of the clear blue. Ilav de isle hanoamine lo yohiv le matona. If the borrower, the loive, the debtor, had not received some kind of benefit from the one to whom he gave the gift, he would never have given the gift. The hilkoch, and therefore, the one who received the land as a gift, he must have had to do something or lay out something in order to receive that gift. And therefore, ki pseido de lekuchos domi. He is to be compared to a purchaser. Whereas, just like a standard purchaser lays out money to buy the land, the gift receiver had laid out either some kind of favor, services, or whatever in order to get the land as a gift. And if that be the case, if we're going to view Makabel Matona as a lakuach, so the takona would apply to them as well, so that the receiver of the gift could fend off or deflect he who comes to collect the debt, maintaining that the original debtor still has property of his own to pay you with. Omer le markshisha brei d'Rav Chisda l'Rav Ashi. Toshma, let's try to answer from the following. Notice we have a long marking. Following this attempt to answer, triangles will appear, and on the side of the Gemara where the triangle appears, we indicate dechios. Klomar ein lifshoy chela zu me'amoker shuhuva b'Gemara. The Gemara, after trying to answer the question, will say you can't answer the question from this source. So, first, our first job is to see how it would answer the question. Toshma, shchiv meira she'omar, shchiv meira is a person who is deathly ill, and he says to those standing around him, tenu mosayim zuz leploni, v'shosh meis leploni, v'dalid meis leploni. He says, I want you to give 200 zuz to Mr. 1, 300 to Mr. 2, and 400 to Mr. 3. Ein oimrim, we don't say the following. Kol hakodem b'shtar zocha, the earlier one to receive is the one who's going to have the strongest holding on that which he received. That sounds a little bit abstract, so let's try to apply it. We continue reading. Lefikach yotza olav shtar choiv goiva mikulan. this Shechit Mera, when he dies, someone came forth with a bill of collection that the deceased owed him money. The deceased is then going to collect from those who received a gift. They received gifts. The way of collection will be prorated according to the amount each one received. So that if, let's say the debt was a 900 zuz debt, or if it makes it easier on the ears to say $900, so then we would say as follows. The $900 will be paid out as follows. Let's make it a $90 debt. Okay, we have each one of these people receiving. One received 200, one 300, and one 400. So the one who received 200 will pay $20 toward the debt. The one who received 300 will pay $30 toward the debt. The 20 and 30 is 50, and the one who received 400 will pay $40 toward the debt. So 50 plus 40 is 90. The debt was for the amount owed was 90, and that would be an illustration of shtar chayv. The yotzeh is goyfa mikulan. He will collect from all of them in a prorated fashion. Let's continue in the source of all. Im Omar, if the shchiv meira, the person in the throes of death, said as follows: Tnu mosayim zuz leploni, v'acharov leploni, v'acharov leploni. It's the same case as before with one key word added. Word that we dashed underline, v'achrov. Give 200 to Mr. 1, and after he gets his 200, then give 300 to Mr. 2, and after he gets his 300, give 400 to Mr. 3. Oimrim, we say in a case like that, kol ha-kaidim b'shtar zocha, the earlier one to receive the gift has the strongest claim and the strongest possibility of retaining his gift. Lefikach yotza alav shtar choiv. Therefore, if a bill of collection emerged to collect from the deceased, goivim nachron, he goes initially to the last one to receive the gift. If there is enough money enough value in the gift he received to cover the loan, fine, finished, and the others are not going to pay out anything. Ein loy goyve mishalafonov. If the amount of the debt is greater than the amount that the last one received, so the collector will go to the one who received the gift just before him, the last one. Ein lo goyve mishalafonov. And if that's not enough to cover the debt owed, so then he'll go to the first one to have received the gift. And this, say, order of collection is the afagav, the kamobenis, basra ziburis, even though the first one to receive the gift, if it was a gift of land, the first one may very well have been a gift of benonis quality land, and the last one to receive was a case of ziburis quality land. Miziburis govi, mi beinunis lo govi. The debtor, the creditor, that is, will seek collection from the last one, even though the last one to receive. Well, let's point out that the last one was when, with respect to the fellow who received the Beinonis, the earlier gift, that last one was still B'nai Chorin. Only after the Beinonis, the earlier receiver of Beinonis, received his gift, only afterwards did the gift giver give out the Ziburis. So what do we see from this? Shma mino b'matona, in a case of a gift, that's what we've been discussing now, a case of a gift, nami ovud rabona takonta. The takona of ein goyvim in chosim shubodim applies not only to purchasers from the debtor, but also people received a gift from the debtor. The triangle, now an attempt to deflect this or reject this as a source as to answer the question. Hacha b'mayaskinon b'balchov. The source above where he said, Tnu, give this, give this. That's a reference to people that had loaned money. It's not a reference to receivers of gifts. The Gemara asked, V'ha Tnu komar. But in the source it said, give him. Give him is an expression of, is giving instead of pay him. Give him means a gift. No. Tnu b'chovi. Give them the money that I owe them after, because I had borrowed from them. Question. V'lechsi shtoro deman kodim. Why is there any deliberation of who is the first one to get, who is the last one to get? Just take a look at the documents, the shtar halva, the loan documents, who has an earlier date in it. The earlier date has the first claim, has the earlier claim. The Gemara says, Deleko shtara. We're talking about a case of halvo al peh. These were oral loans. So there's no document based on which you can establish who has first claim. Question, V'ho kol ha-koydim b'shtar ko'omar? But the source indicated that there were documents. It said, he who has the earlier shtar has the greater strength. The Gemara says, no, it's not a reference to a shtar, a bill of collection, but rather b'shtar pakdosa, the what we would call a written will. It was a shtivmera that who issued his remarks in a written form. So as far as we're concerned at this point, the source above doesn't address our question. Rav Achdavuyeh Barami asked a question regarding receivers of gifts. Are they like purchasers of land? We don't see any reference to receivers of gifts here. Nami. You can actually say that the source is referring to receivers of gifts, and yet we're not going to conclude from this source the halacha of ein nifroyin minechosim mishubodim or mimakabli matona b'mokam sheish b'nechorin. And why not? V'lo kashya. My goyve min ha'achron. What does goyve min ha'achron mean? Collect from the last one? It means ein nifsad elo achron. The only one who is going to lose is the last one. Now that is very abstract, very difficult to understand what has just been said, but Rashi comes through with his crystal clear explanation. So we look together at the Rashi. Toward the lower part of the narrow lines, we have a star that we've written into the Rashi, V'boyesema, li'oilam, Ikamo Beninis Ubasra Ziburis. I could tell you that if the earlier one to receive the gift happened to be Beninis quality land, and the last one was Ziburis quality land, Mikamo Govi, the creditor would in fact collect his debt from the earlier gift receiver, the Shokil Dine. He gets what the law entitles him to. And we won't apply to the case of matona the klal, the principle of ein ifroim nechosim shubana b'mokom sheish b'nechorin. Umay goivim in achron. Well, if we're not going to be applying that principle because you're dealing with receivers of gifts, what does the expression goivim in achron mean? Up till now, we were led to believe goivim in achron, in fact, is a reflection of that principle, that you collect from the most recent receiver because the earlier receivers vis-a-vis the early receivers, the last receiver was the B'nai Chorin. And now you're saying not to learn like that. So what does Goyve Min Achron mean? Eino Nifsad Elo Achron. The Chinami Govi Mikamo, when the creditor, in fact, collects from the earlier one, the Beinunis, as the law entitles him to, that earlier gift receiver, Choyzer Alo Achron, he will go to the later gift receiver, the Goyve Mimenu, and say, hey, you know, I received the gift earlier than you. I want you to compensate me for my loss. The Omar lei sloch lemishkal mikamoi. You don't have any right to take ahead of me, meaning to you keep the gift, and I should lose out. After all, I received the gift earlier. But as far as the original creditor is concerned, you don't see from this source the idea of the Mishnah of Ein Nifroim Nechasim Mishibana B'Mokum Sheish B'nei Chorin. Another deflection, the Iboy Seim, when we continue in the Gemara, we're talking about, in fact, gifts, and when it says Goyve Mino Achron, and still that is not going to be a reflection of applying the rule of Ein Nifroim Nechasim Mishibana B'Mokum Sheish B'nei Chorin. Why not? So the Gemara says, "Deshavu kulu lahadoti." All the gifts were of the same quality of land. In order for us to, let us say, resolve Rav Achdavuye's question, we would have to see an illustration of an earlier gift being in terms of higher quality land, of Beinonis quality land, and the later gift in terms of Ziburis, and then see what happens. If the creditor is limited to the Zibur's quality land, we would say the principle does apply. If we would see that he goes to the Beinonis land, then we say the principle does not apply. But where all the land gifts were of equal quality, so we don't see the principle illustrated. Before we go further in the Gemara, we look at the side where we have a mivneh, structural note. You'll notice a crown shape, and later a crown shape as well as a diamond. So on the side under the mivneh, these represent hesberim shonim loma achilus peros eina geva mimishubadim. The Mishnah taught that when it comes to collection for achilas peros, he cannot seize mishubodim for compensation thereof. The diamond that appears is lahavlid hakesher bein shnei hadeis, the oimrim oisedover, to create a connection between the two opinions, two names that say the same thing. The Gemara, ein motzien lachilas peros. And it went on in the Mishnah to list a number of different kinds of payments, and it said, Minechosim Mishubodim. What was the reference to Achilas Peros? So we have to imagine a case where someone stole land and then sold it. He sold the land with a guarantee. So you have a thief who happened to own several parcels of land. The purchaser of the land, after buying it from the thief, he made improvements and produced produce, peros. And one day, the victim of the theft came along and took away the field with fruits in it. The purchaser has recourse, because he bought the land with a guarantee. He bought it from the thief. So as far as the basic value of the land itself, exclusive of the fruits, he can go to Nechosim Mishul Bodim. Those are properties that the thief sold subsequently to this particular sale. However, for the fruit value that he seeks compensation, that the purchaser seeks compensation. He cannot go to those that bought that bought land subsequently. If the thief has cash, he has his own properties, then fine. Otherwise, the purchaser will lose out that amount, the amount corresponding to the value of the peros that he had to part with. The Gemara, my taima, why is it so? Why, when it comes to achilas peros, why is it that he cannot pursue the subsequent purchasers? Omar Ula, Omar Eish Lakish, Lefish Ein Ksuvim. Because the value of the fruits was never written out. Rashi, on the third line under the Gemara commentary, under the Gemara text, Lefish Ein Ksuvim, Aperos Halalu, Kishenichtav Shtar Mechir Sekaka Gzula, when the sale of that stolen land was written out in a title form, in a deed form, Adayin Lo Hoyu, the fruits hadn't come to be. Philo, Kosav, Bishtar, Leploni, Mochar, Karka, Ploni, Leploni, Bachrayas. All the shtar said, all the document said that so-and-so, in this case the thief, sold a such-and-such parcel of land to so-and-so with a guarantee. Hilkuch, Demea, Karka, Hava, Kamilva, Bishtar, Lachse, Achri, Solov. The sale of the land itself is no less than a loan accounted for by in a shtar, in a written form, and one who loaned money loaned out money and received a shtar has a right to seize subsequent purchasers that bought property from the borrower. Aval demei haperos, but the value of the fruits that this purchaser had to part with. It's like an oral loan. The oral loans, as is well known, are not collectible from subsequent purchasers. Even if he had written, even if the thief who sold the land said, you know, I'm going to make good on this sale for all your investment in it and work and efforts and the fruits, Ahani lachayve machriusa, velikvi mechori, avom shabdi lo. Writing all that helps only to entitle the purchaser to seek compensation from lands that the seller himself, in this case the thief, still has, but not from meshubadim, not from land that was sold subsequently. The taima de milva bishtar, torfim mishtabdi, the whole basis of allowing a milva bishtar, a debt accounted for in a document to collect from sold properties, subsequently sold properties, mishum di islay kola, it creates public awareness. Ulach siva leslay kola, the comment made two lines above, the where the thief wrote, "I'll make good on this sale, including the fruits therein," doesn't produce public awareness. The bishlamal karka nofik kola. I understand with regard to the sale of the land itself, that creates public awareness. Ploni mocha leploni v'kiblo v'achrayas. Avla perishenu adayin b'shas mechirein kol yotze. But regarding fruits that don't even exist yet at the time of the sale, that doesn't arouse public awareness. And the whole concept of public awareness is upon it we base the idea of the purchasers being subject to collection. When they bought the land, they knew they were buying from someone that had previous debts. So they knew. That's a function of the koil. And if they bought anyway, so it's, as we say, at their own risk. But you can't subject people to collection if they were unaware. And all of this is a function of the fruits being, as the Gemara says, they're not ksuvim. They're not recorded. The Gemara continues. Omar le Rabbi Abba le'ula v'ha mozoin ho'isha v'abonos de kemandik sivi domu v'katoni ein motzien. Rabbi Abba asks Sula, if you're making it all dependent on whether it's written, then you can collect from subsequent purchasers. If it's not written, then you cannot. I'm going to give you an example of something that's as if it's written, and yet you cannot collect from subsequent purchasers. Rabbi Abba makes reference to Mozon Ha'ishav Abonos. That's a reference to food money that a person, when he marries a wife, she is entitled to being sustained, and daughters that she brings into the marriage also are at times accounted for being sustained. In addition to that, we have his own daughters are accounted for. Let's refer to, in this case, to his own daughters that he has with the woman that he marries. The husband guarantees that he'll support his wife and his daughters. That's Mozon Ha'ishav Abonos. Let us say, for some reason, he didn't pay that money, and they're seeking Mozon, they're seeking their sustenance. So the rule is that they cannot collect from people that purchased land from their husband / father. Even though Mozon Ha'ishav Abonos is as if it's written out, we know that you cannot seize payment for that from purchasers. Omar Lay, so Ula answers, Hosam Meikora Hochi Askun. When it comes to the topic of Mozon Ha'ishav Abonos, the original enactment stated, Ksuvim Hein Eitzel Ben Echorin Vein Ksuvim Hein Eitzel Mishubodim. They're considered as if it's written out to collect from property held by the husband himself, but not as if it's written out to enable them to collect from purchasers. The Gemara continues. V'chein Omar Rabbi Asi Om Rabbi Yochanan. And we mentioned before the use of the diamond was to link this up with Ula. He says the same thing. Lefi she'ein ksuvim. The peros are not written out. And therefore, the purchaser from the thief cannot seek compensation for the peros from the subsequent purchasers of land from that thief who sold him the land. Omar le Rabbi Zera Vasi, V'al mozon ha'ishav abonos dekeman deksivi domu v'katoni ein motzien. Omar le meikara hochi askun ksuvim heim etzel b'nei churin ve'ein ksuvim heim etzel mishubadim. The same give and take that we saw just before. Just a technical point that we didn't state clearly beforehand. The case of the mozon ha'ishav abonos was a man who, upon getting married, guarantees his wife and the daughters that he has with her to be maintained after his death. The daughters would receive mozon's food money until they get married, and the almona, the widow, would continue living in the house and receiving mozon as long as she remains a widow. And we pointed out that those enactments are as if they are written out. They are very strong rabbinic enactments. We call them a tnai bezdin, a court condition. And nevertheless, we saw that you cannot collect from people that purchased land from that man for those payments. We continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Chanina, you can see, is a number two, a second crown. He is here to explain why, for Achilas Peros, the purchaser from the thief cannot seize upon subsequent purchasers for compensation for the Peros that he lost when the original victim came to him and collected the field with the fruits in it. Rabbi Chanina Omar Lefi She'ein Ktsuvim. It's not fixed. Kotsuv means a fixed amount or a fixed time. Ibayaloho, the Gemara asks, Le Rebbe Chanina. According to Rebbe Chanina, in order to be able to collect from lekuchos, from subsequent purchasers, ksuvim uksuvim boi, does it have to be something that's a fixed amount as well as written out? We continue at the top of daf nun aleph. Oy dilma ksuvim af liafal pi she'enon ksuvim. It's enough if you're dealing with something that has a fixed amount, even if it's not written out. Well, if you're going to say even if it's not written out, then you represent an opinion that a milval pet, an oral loan, which is a fixed amount, there was a specific amount given in a loan form, can collect from mishubadim. Generally, we're familiar, or it's a more popular approach to say that a milval peh, an oral loan, does not collect from mishubadim, but according to this possible analysis, if Rabbi Chanina, who emphasizes ksuvim, is saying that ksuvim is enough, even if it's not ksuvim, that conclusion would result. Toshma. So in order to answer the question, we have an attempt. Notice it's a long marking. The Toshma, the Itmar, mi shemeis v'niach shtei bonos uben. A person died leaving two daughters and a son. Just a word of introduction. The daughters that one leaves are not entitled from the Torah. When there is a brother, when there's a son in the picture, they don't receive standard, we'll say, inheritance. However, there is a rabbinic enactment entitling the as yet unmarried daughters left by the deceased to receive what's called Isur Nechasim, a tenth of the estate. So someone died, leaving two daughters and a son. V'kodma harishayna v'notla Isur Nechasim. The first daughter, she was swift, and she collected her Isur Nechasim, one-tenth of the estate. V'lo ispiko shniya likvois ad shemeis haben. And the second daughter didn't collect her 10% until the son died. With the death of the son, all of the estate falls to these two daughters. In a case where there are no sons, so then daughters divide the estate as heiresses. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Shnia Vitra. Rabbi Yochanan takes the position that the second daughter, she loses out on that tenth of the estate. So if we use a practical example, let's say the estate was $100. When the father died, one daughter took $10 as Isur Nechasim. That left an estate of $90, but the son died. So the 90 remaining dollars would be divided equally, 45 and 45. So at the end of the day, one daughter got an initial $10 plus $45 of the estate as an inheritance, $55. The other one, just $45. That's what Rabbi Yochanan means when I say Shnia Vitra. The second one, she loses out. She loses out on that Isur Nechasim. The logic being that the Isur Nechasim was a means of enabling daughters to get married, to have some type of financial basis with which to get married. But when once she inherits the estate, so that's worth much more than the Isur Nechasim, so from the inheritance standpoint, she is taken care of. We continue in the Gemara. Amar le Rabbi Chanina, Gedoyla Mizu Amru. Rabbi Chanina, we'll see, takes a totally, say, opposite approach. And I think it's important to emphasize Rabbi Chanina's name because we're working within an attempt to understand his approach. So Rabbi Chanina says, Gedola mizu amru, motzien le parnosa, v'ein motzien le mezonos. Parnosa is another a word referring to Isur Nechasim. We will collect from purchasers of land, if, let us say, in the story we just had where a man died leaving two daughters and a son, if that son had sold properties from his father's estate, we entitle the daughters to collect their Isur Nechosim even from properties that had been sold, assuming that there's no there isn't enough left in the estate because the son, their brother, had sold off the properties. The daughters are entitled to seek their Isur Nechosim from purchasers. For Isur, for Parnosa, which we call Isur Nechosim, we entitle collection from purchasers, which we don't entitle for Mizonos, for food, for their food allowance. And you, Rabbi Yochanan, are saying that that even in a case where no sale took place, the second daughter should lose out? That second daughter has power to collect even from purchasers. All the more so if nothing was sold, she's entitled to receive the 10% off the top. V'ha parnosa demeketz kaitza michtav lo ksiva v'komotzia. Parnosa is something that represents a fixed amount. It's called Isur Nechosim, a tenth of the estate, a tenth of his property. It's fixed. It's not written out. And we see that they have the power to collect. So that when it comes to understanding Rebbe Chanina, the peros was something that was not katsuv. Had it been katsuv or katsuts, a fixed amount, that would have been enough to entitle collection from subsequent purchasers. The Gemara rejects this. Shiny parnosa. Parnosa is different. Kevon de isle kola kemandik siva domi. Parnosa is something that is well known. It has a coil. And because it has a coil, it's as if it's written out. Not so in the case of peros that some purchaser cultivated in the land that he bought from the thief. We now encounter a new marking, the house marking, on the side under the Mivne heading. The house markings that you see are Kushos al Hataomim Shemu Shenemu Liel al Loma Loigoivim Peros Milukuchos. Questions on the reasons we have given till now as to why the purchaser of the land from the thief who had to part with his peros cannot seek compensation from the lukuchos, from the subsequent purchasers. The Gemara, Mosiv Rav Huna Bar Manoach. He will be challenging what Ula said in the name of Reish Lakish, who had said the reason is Lefi She'ein Ksuvim. So he asks from the following. Mesu, a man died. Benoisein nizoinos minachosim benechorin, vehi nizoinos minachosim mishua bodim. Bipnei shi kebalas chov. The source is featured. Basic. It's a very terse quotation from a larger original source. So Rashi gives us the background. A couple lines down from here in the Rashi, Mesu benosim izos chuli hanoses isha, man marries a woman who poska imoi lozun es bito chameshonim, and he agreed to support this woman's daughter. The woman apparently had a daughter from a previous marriage, and this new husband agrees to support her daughter for 5 years. Vegirsha b'so chameshonim v'nisis la'acher. And he divorced her within those 5 years, and she married another man, Uposka Imoi Kamokain, and the new husband agreed likewise, Chayav Lazuna Chameshan, he has to support the daughter for 5 years. Now you have a case of this daughter receiving food support for 5 years from two men. How much can a person eat? So we say echad zona ve'echad noisin lo demei mezonos. One will supply the actual food, and the other will give the value of her food. Mesu, when these men who were husbands die, b'noiseim nizaynis chosim b'nechorin, their own daughters will continue to receive food support from properties that their own father currently has, or are maintained within the estate. Their own biological daughters and their wives cannot, in this case, their widows, seek their mozon support from purchasers, from lands that the husband had sold. But vehi oisa bas ishto, that daughter nizaynis min chosim shubadim, she can collect from people that bought land from this husband, from this man, after he had agreed to support this daughter. The Rashi continues, Nizaynis min chosim mishubadim v'chulei. What do we see from this? Almo kevon de kaitzi chomeshanim. Since there's a fixed amount, this is in terms of time. Afagav de lo ksiva. Even though it's not something that was written out, gav yomi mishabdi kribi chanina. She collects from purchasers, like Rabbi Chanina taught. Vekashya leula, and this is a problem for Ula. Ula made it dependent on Ksuvim. Rabbi Chanina, as far as Rashi is concerned over here, made it dependent on Ketsuvim, being fixed. So we continue in the Gemara, with now having seen a Kasha on Ula. The Gemara responds, Hocha b'mayaskinon b'shekonu miyodo. The support for the bas ishto, for that daughter of the wife from the previous marriage, where we say she gets support from the chosim shubadim, from purchasers, that is because a kinyan was made. A kinyan is a gesture, a representative gesture of a deal being clinched. And there's a principle that Rashi tells us, principle that's known, that stam kinyan l'ksiva oime, a kinyan, a representative gesture that clinches deals, is something that if someone is witnessing it, could write it down. So it's something that's like written in accordance with Ula. Ula had explained that in order to collect from Mishubadim, it would have to be a type of a debt that's written out, which is not the case of Peros that we had been discussing till now. So the question that Rav Huna Bar Manoch raised against Ula is answered. You notice we have a bracketed section. Following the bracketed section, there's another house marking that appears, Toshma, and a Tanaic source is quoted, Amr of Nosson, etc. That will also be a question on some of the reasons that we've been giving for why Peros don't collect from Mishubadim. You'll notice a starred note on the side that relates to the bracketed section. Let's read it together. Achrei hasugrayim, after the bracketed section, Agmar mamshicha lishoil al hataomim shenemru le'el lo lomo lo goivim milukuchos al peros. The Gemara will continue its questions on the reasons that have been given before for why collection is not made from purchasers for the peros. Agora maksha al chuvas shikonu miyodo. the Gemara had just given an answer to Rav Huna bar Manoach's question as to why the daughter of that woman collects from the Chosim Meshubadim, even though it's not been written out. So we said because Konu Miyado, a kinyan was made, a gesture of clinching a deal was made, which is tantamount to it being written out. The Gemara asks, well, Ihachi Bonos Nami, so if a kinyan was made regarding the Muzon, so then the biological daughters as well should be able to collect from purchasers. Why do we say they collect only from B'nai Chorin, from properties that remain in their father's estate, not properties sold? So we answer, and you'll notice a new marking, on the side we indicate, Hesberim Lama B'noisiv Loi Nizainis Minachasim Mishabam. We're here to give answers to why is it that the men's own daughters don't collect from subsequent purchasers. So answer number one, B'shekanu Lezu V'lo Kanu Lezu. A kinyan was made with regard to the woman's original daughter, and not with regard to his own daughters. The Gemara asks, my Pascha, what do you know that makes this so definitive? So Pascha means something that's definitive, it's so clear cut. Answer, Bas ishto davoy b'shas kinyan mahani lo kinyan. The daughter that the woman had from an early marriage, that girl was around when her mother married this new husband. So she was around when the kinyan was made. So the kinyan is effective. Bito, his own daughter that had not been born yet, they were just getting married now. So the lo havoi b'shas kinyan, lo mahani, lo kinyan. She was as yet unborn, so the kinyan doesn't have any effect on her. Question. Mi lo askinon, are we not dealing also with a case, tahavu travayu b'shas kinyan, where not only was the woman's original daughter there, but his own daughters were there as well? You'll ask, well, how could they be there? Behechi domi, the gir shiva hadra. We're talking about a case where the man divorced his wife and then remarried her. At the point of their divorce, his own daughters were already born. And the kinyan spoken of is a kinyan when he's remarrying his wife. His daughters are there, as well as the daughter that woman had from a previous marriage. So why do you say that the kinyan is made only for the bas ishto and not for bito? Ela. So the Gemara answers, Bito, dibnai beizdin kochlo, lo mahani lo kinyan. The man's own daughter, that she has the benefit of a court enactment, of a statutory provision for food allowance from her father's estate. So the kinyan doesn't have an effect regarding her. Bas ishto, the daughter that the woman had from an early marriage, which is the lav b'tnai beis in kochla, she doesn't draw support from her also stepfather's estate by virtue of some type of statutory provision. So mahani lo kinyan, so the kinyan has benefit for her. The gemara v'chi migra gora, are you suggesting just because someone is cared for more by the Tanai Basin, she should, Mikrogor means lose out, she should be weakened, she should be deprived? Elo, Bito, Kevon, de Tanai Basin, Kochlo. Rather, if you're asking why does the Bito not seek muzon support, food support from purchasers, the reason is, since she is in fact so well provided for, we suspect that maybe the father had set aside money, literally tied up money in pouches for her food support, making that her source of mazon. And certainly, if that would be the case, she would have no right to double dip and collect from purchasers. That explanation is applicable to Bito, not to Bas Ishto. And therefore, Bas Ishto, since a kinyan was made, she it's considered as if it's written out, and hence she's entitled to collect from Mishubodim and no question on Ula. Toshma. Omar Rabbi Nosson. At this point, we've mentioned already a couple of times. We'll mention it again. We're raising questions on that which we've explained till now as to why peiros are not collected from Mishubodim. Omar Rabbi Nosson. Amosai, when is it that we say that we don't collect for peiros from Mishubodim? Bizman shekidam mekhoi shelsheni lishvachos shirishon. That's when the subsequent purchasers from the thief preceded the shevach, the improvement, the produce production of the first guy, the first purchaser. Avokidam shvachos shirishon lemekhoi shelsheni. If you have a fellow purchase land from the thief, and turns out to be stolen land from the thief, and kidam shvachos shirishon, he not only purchased, but fruit started to grow and develop and ripen, and all that took place before lemekhoi shelsheni, before a subsequent sale from the thief to the buyer was made. Goyva minichosim mishubadim. The first purchaser is entitled to seek compensation from those subsequent buyers, and that compensation will include compensation for the fruits. Alma. So we see from here that the only reason that we would say peiros do not collect from mishubadim is mishum de lo kodim hu, because the peiros did not precede the subsequent purchases. That's the only reason. It has nothing to do with ksuvim and ksuvim, fixed amounts and written out and all that we said before. The Gemara responds, Tanoihi. The issue concerning collection for peiros from mishubadim, as to why we say peiros do not collect from mishubadim, is in fact a Tanaic disagreement. Desanya ein motzin lechius peiros ulishvach karkois ulemozen ishva bonus minichosim mishubadim. We will not seek mishubadim to pay any of these payments, which we've already described several times, mitnei tikun ha'olam lefi she'en ksuvim, for the preservation of public order, public welfare, and that being because they're not written out. And since they're not written out, the public is not aware of these debts. It would be unfair to collect from purchasers who purchased thinking that the seller did not have these debts. They were unaware of them. They weren't written out. Amar Rabbi Yosi v'chima tikun ha'olam yesh bezu falo ein ktsuvim. We look at Rashi. The Rashi that we're looking at, you'll see several lines up from the bottom, about six lines up from the bottom. Actually, let's read eight lines up from the bottom. Mipnei tikun ha'olam lefish ein ktsuvim v'im bosa litrof l'kuchos. If you are going to seek collection from purchasers, even for oral debts, people aren't going to want to buy land. You'll stop commercial transactions in real estate because people will be fearful that the guy you bought from has a debt. V'halo ein ksuvim uvamaya yesh l'kuchus lizoyer. The opinion of Rabbi Yossi was, even without a special tikkun ha'olam consideration, it's simply not correct, it's not right to collect from lekuchos when you have something that doesn't have a fixed amount to it. At this point, we are illustrating that the Gvia Leperos, collection for Peros, is not to be made from Mishubadim. It's a Machlokas Tanaim. Why not? In this source, we see two reasons. One is because they're not; it's not something written out, doesn't create a koil. And the other approach says because it's not kotsuv. The Tosfos points out that if we were to explain things as we did, which is, of course, the way Rashi presents the sugya, the point made by Reb Nosson before in the previous Tanaic source would actually be a third opinion. As far as we're concerned, we can simply say, okay, so Reb Nosson himself is a Tana, he represents a third opinion. Tosfos, however, has a different approach and says that the original question that was asked from Reb Nosson was a question not directed on both a pshatim of ksuvim and ketsuvim, but it was a problem raised strictly against Ula. And as such, the Gemara's answer is, okay, what Ula said is a machlokas tanaim, and he has on whom to base himself. Namely, on the first opinion in this source that says, because it's ein ksuvim. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.